Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
I'm Craig Mellendorf. I'm the lead pastor here at Casper Faith, and we're so glad that you have joined us today for our service. And how many realize that Easter is only 2 weeks away? 2 weeks away. It just doesn't seem possible, doesn't seem real. But we're working on some special things of maybe what we can do to make Easter special, since I know many of you are kind of just stuck at home. There's not a lot to do around in the community, and so we're working on some things, seeing what we can put together, be praying that they don't give a lockdown by the state, because that would influence some of the activities that we're working on. But on Easter Sunday, we are starting a special message series, and it is going to be called I Deserve. And we're going to be looking at four different stories in the gospel of some people that did some really bad things, but they did not deserve what they had coming to them. They didn't get what they deserved they had coming to them. Instead, they experienced the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be just a great series. And I encourage you to be praying about maybe who you can invite to your house that doesn't know Christ on Easter Sunday and say, hey, would you like to go with me to church? And say, well, and they might say, well, how do you do that? And say, hey, we're watching online. And it's just a great opportunity to share the gospel message that Jesus died and he's alive and he rose again for all of us. And so be praying about who you can invite to that. Today, I want to talk about prayer. And specifically, I want to talk about prayer in the context of being in a crisis, being in a crisis. I think we would all agree right now that America is in a time of crisis, and not just America, but the entire world. And this health crisis with the COVID-19, the financial crisis from the stock market plummeting, many businesses shutting down, many people out of jobs, and some of you, you would say this is not just a national crisis, a world crisis, but it's been a personal crisis for me because I'm the one who's out of work. I'm the one whose business is shut down. I have no income coming in. Maybe you have been affected by the virus, or maybe you're in a time of crisis that your kids are out of school, you don't know how to handle this, how to school them. Or maybe it's something not even related to that. Maybe you're having your own difficulties, an inner battle that's raging, or maybe you're fighting a different disease like cancer or multiple sclerosis or Crohn's or something like that, and you're experiencing a crisis of your own. So the question is, how do I pray? How do we pray when we're going through a time of crisis? And that's what I would like us to look at this morning. And so open your Bibles or go to YouVersion. Our sermon notes are on YouVersion. And you can take a look at Daniel chapter 9. By the way, this message is based on a sermon by Rick Warren. And I want to just share with you, not just today, but over the next couple of weeks, six steps to praying in a time of crisis. When we look in Daniel chapter 9, we're going to see Daniel lay out six things. He lists six things of how to pray in a time of crisis. And when you look at his life, he modeled these six things. So I will talk about the crisis that Daniel was in just a moment. But for now, I want to launch into the first of the steps. So if you're taking notes this morning, you can write this down. How do you pray in a crisis? Let God speak to me before I speak to him. Let God speak to me before I speak to him. And this is what we call the listening stage. We're listening to God. You're letting God speak to you. And here's the principle that we need to understand. God always makes the first move. God always makes the first move. We respond, but God is the initiator. God, he acts first. We're told in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him, why? Because he first loved us. You see, we didn't make the first move. God reached out to us, and so now we reach back to him. Matthew 20, verse 28, it says that Jesus served us. He served us first, and so now we serve him. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. God has given to us first, and now we give back to Him. God never asks us to do something that He hasn't already done. You see, God is the initiator. You and I were the responders. God reaches out to us. I remember many years ago, I was doing a study just in the Bible. How does God feel about Christians? And I came to Romans chapter 1, verse 6, and it says, you are the called of Jesus Christ. And when I came to that verse, I thought, hey, God called out to me. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel in relationships that, you know, I contact someone and then they respond back to me. But sometimes I feel like, you know, maybe with that certain person, I'm the one who always has to do the initiating. But when you look at Romans, it says God called us. God reached out to us first. And here's the thing that I want us to realize. God is reaching out to you and I right now. He's reaching out. So in this time of crisis, when you feel like God's withdrawn Himself, no, He hasn't. Scripture tells us He has reached out to us. We just need to respond back to Him. Don't go by your feelings. We talked about that last week. Don't go by your feelings. Act on faith on what God says is in His Word and respond back to Him. We pray and talk to God. You know why we do that? Because God has already talked to us. Some of you might say, well, Craig, how does God talk to us? He talks to us through the Bible. You see, the Bible contains hundreds of principles and promises. And what happens is we read the Bible. As we look at God's Word, we see there's a principle, and God speaks to us and say, this is how you should live. Here's a promise. This is what you need to apply to your life and to stand on it in a time of difficulty, in a time of discouragement, in a time of frustration. And so God speaks to us as we read His Word, and that's one of the most crucial things you and I can do in a time of crisis is first get into the Word of God. Because when you read the Word, God will tell you how to pray. He'll tell you what to pray. He'll tell you when to pray. If you listen to God through the Word, He will help you to pray. And we see this in Daniel chapter 9. We're going to pick it up in verse 1 and verse 2. It says, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. I want you to look in your Bible and underline understood from the scriptures, okay? Daniel understood from the scriptures. As he was reading the Bible, he was learning things. God was revealing things to him. And that's how God speaks to us, is through the Word. And Daniel was actually reading letters that Jeremiah had sent back to the exiles in Babylon. We read this in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 12. It says, but when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation, the land of the Babylonians, for their guilt. Daniel knew that Israel would be in Babylon for 70 years. That's what Jeremiah said. Then they would return. He learned that from the scriptures. Friends, you and I will never effectively learn how to pray if we don't become people of the Word of God. We need to get into the Bible every day. You say, well, I don't have time to do it every day. Do you realize that Daniel served multiple different kings in government? He was promoted to different positions of leadership, many times being the second highest in command, answering only to the king. And Daniel found time to pray. He found time to pray. It says in Daniel 6:10, he got on his knees. Three times a day, he carved out time to pray. You and I need to be people of prayer. And Jesus talked about this in John 15. He said, He gave an illustration. He says, I'm the vine. And I can just see this. He's camping out, and he's saying, hey, here's a vine. Here's some branches. They're probably in a vineyard or something like that. And he says, I'm the vine. You're the branches. And if you think about it, a branch has to stay connected to a vine. If a branch isn't connected to a vine, it dries up and it dies. And I can just see Jesus saying that, and that word abide, he's going to use it again. We see it in verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words in you, whatever you ask, whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Jesus gives us two conditions to getting our prayers answered. Number one, staying connected with him. And number two, his word staying with us. Those are the two conditions. We need to be connected to him, but his word needs to be connected. It needs to remain. It needs to stay in us. And he says, we can ask anything, anything you desire, whatever you wish, and I will do it for you. So that brings us to the question, well, how come I pray and God doesn't answer? I mean, I prayed about a lot of things and God doesn't show up. God doesn't answer. Why is that the case? Why does God do that? Well, it's found right here in John chapter 10. Maybe we're not connected to him, or maybe his word is not staying to us. Maybe we're praying for something that's not in God's word. In James 4:3, James, the brother of Jesus, said, you ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly. To spend it on your passions. There's times when we pray and it's like, man, I really want this. This is my desire, but that's not God's desire. And so we're praying for something that's not in the will of God, and we're wanting God to answer it, but he doesn't answer it because it's not lined up with his word, with his will, with his principles. Pastor Zach, just this past week, as he's been going online and talking to our youth, he's talked about the importance of us listening to God. And what we need to realize is this is the foundational step for us to pray in a time of crisis. Listen to God, get into his word. Daniel, when he prayed three times a day, as it says in Daniel chapter 6, that's the context is the Daniel in the lion's den. And what's interesting is that it says that Daniel, when the lion's den came, it happened in the first year of Darius the Mede. You see, Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 6 were happening in the first year of Darius the Mede, possibly simultaneously or one a little bit before the other. And Daniel prayed three times a day, every day, and he had been doing it for 70 years. I want you to think about, what would your life be like if you prayed to God every single day, three times a day, your entire life for 70 years? Do you think your life might look a little different than it does now? You know, it's no wonder that Daniel had such great wisdom, that he received so many promotions, that he survived different kings, and there was even a shift because when the Medes and Persians with Darius and Cyrus came in and took over Babylon, he survived the regime change. He was still elevated to one of the highest in command, and I believe it was because Daniel was a person of prayer. He got alone with God. He listened to God. And friends, I want you, I want myself to become powerful people of prayer. And so I'm going to throw out a challenge for us. I want us, each of us, we should never go to bed at night. Never put your pillow down, your head down on your pillow, without first taking some time and reading the Word and then having a conversation with God. Even if it's just a minute, if it's been a busy day, something happened, but just take a minute. God wants us to develop this habit of being people who abide in him and his word abides in us. Because if we do that, we will bear much fruit. And when you look at Daniel's life, his influence for God and the kingdom, the protection, the miracles he saw is phenomenal because he was abiding in God and God's word was abiding in him and he bore much fruit. Men, I guarantee if you spend time with God every day, you're going to be more confident. Now, I don't know any man alive who says, hey, I want to be confident, I want to be assured, I want to be strong. If we spend time in God's Word, that'll happen for you. You'll be able to handle stress better. You'll be able to handle pressure better. Be able to handle anxiety. And ladies, the same is true for you. If you want to be a person that is calm and peaceful and not riled up with situations, you handle stress better, you handle pressure better, you're confident, you're at peace, you're at rest, get into the Word, spend time with God in His Word and having conversations with Him every day like Daniel did. If we do that, I believe we'll see improvements in every area of our life. If we talk to God about our marriage, about our kids, about our future, about our career, about this, that, and the other, if we're bringing our cares to God instead of just doing it on our own, God will help us. Now, I want to talk about a little bit the crisis that Daniel was in. We haven't touched on that. And here's the crisis Daniel was in. As a teenager, he was taken from his homeland, Israel, by the Babylonians. He was a POW, and God sent the Babylonians into Israel because they had been rebelling against God. They had rejected His commandments. They were sacrificing their children to idols or doing idol worship, all sorts of horrible things. And so God brought the Babylonians to attack them, to bring judgment upon them, and to really get a hold of them. And this is what took place. They were going to be there, and at first they didn't know how long. And Daniel, in one of these attacks, he and several other young men are taken to Babylon. They're exiles in Babylon. And he survived multiple tests. We said he served under various kings. And there was a gentleman named Jeremiah who lived at the same time as Daniel. They were contemporaries. And when Daniel was shipped off to Babylon, Jeremiah stayed in the beaten down, broken city of Jerusalem, and God spoke to him. And he said, Jeremiah, I want you to tell the captives in Babylon that this is not going to be a short time. They're going to be there 70 years, so they shouldn't be looking for a quick bailout. They need to realize they need to settle down, make their lives, they need to establish, they need to seek me. But in 70 years, I'm going to turn things around and I'm going to bring it back. And we saw that in Jeremiah 25 that we read just earlier. And so Daniel, as he's studying scriptures, he realizes, hey, 70 years is up, and the Medes have come in, and they've conquered the Babylonians. They have fought the Babylonians. The Babylonians, they've received that punishment, but we're still not going back. There's been no decree for us to go back home. What are we going to do? And Daniel's thinking, maybe God is going to leave us here. Because as Daniel looks at the state of his people, he realizes the nation of Israel is no closer to God now than they were 70 years. And so Daniel realizes there is a crisis. The promises God made to Abraham about us being His children, being in the promised land, blessing all the families of the earth, that's not going to take place. The promise of the Messiah, one of the descendants of David, the Messiah is not going to come. And here's the thing. You and I know who the Messiah is. It's Jesus. The Messiah is Jesus. But Daniel didn't know that. Here's the thing. Daniel's crisis was a bigger crisis than he realized the crisis was. You know, and sometimes we're like that. We're in a crisis, but we don't realize how desperate it is. This was a serious crisis because Israel may not be restored. And so Daniel begins to seek God in this time of crisis. Daniel knew it was 70 years, it was up, not only from Jeremiah 25, but also in Jeremiah 29. We're going to look at verse 10. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, most of us are familiar with this verse. Many of us can quote it. Some of us maybe have it cross-stitched on a pillow from our grandma or maybe on a wall hanging. I know we have it up by our fireplace in our home. We have this verse. But here's something that I want us to realize, that there is more to the chapter than just this promise to Israel of plans of peace and a future and a hope. Let's take a look at verse 12. It says, in those days when you pray. When you what? Stop right there. What does it say? In those days when you what? When you pray. You see, God is laying down a condition stating, if Israel's going to return back and go back to the promised land, and I'm going to do all these promises and restore them like they said, then they need to do something, and that thing they needed to do was they had to pray. In those days when you pray, then, it goes on, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I'll end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I'll gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. Friends, here's the lesson for us today. God's plans and purposes are not automatic. God's plans and purposes are not automatic. You can miss it. In fact, many people, I believe, miss the plans and the purposes for God because they are not fulfilling the condition on their end. And what we need to realize is there was two factors involved here. Factor number one, if you're taking notes, two factors. If you want to experience God's plans and purposes in your life, here's the two factors. One is God's timing, and secondly is my praying. God's timing and my praying. Both of these are important. They have a role in our life. God's timing, when does God want to do it? And then secondly, my praying, when do I ask God to do it? Those two factors determine us experiencing God's plan and purposes. God has a timetable that he doesn't cut short. For the Israelites, it was 70 years. Now, God doesn't always tell us what his timetable is, but we need to be waiting on him. And here's the thing that we see. God's sovereignty. He's in control. He's going to decide when, where, how it's going to happen. But the second thing we see is our responsibility. We have got to do something. And that is a balance in our lives that we need to realize when we're going after God's plans and purposes. We're told when the time is right and we're right, it's going to happen. We're told in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. You see, maybe some of us have dreams, some plans, some big things. Man, I want God to do this. But we really haven't sought God and asked him to do it, how to do it, when to do it. We haven't been praying. So we've got these dreams and things, but God hasn't completed them. How do we know the difference when God's waiting on us or if we are waiting on God? Simple. If you have asked God to do something great in your life, you've prayed about it, you've asked him, there's nothing between you and God, there's no big sin hiding out in the corner, and you know you're good, everything's in harmony, you're abiding in him, the word's abiding in you, then you are waiting for God's timetable. You're waiting on him. But if God's given you a dream, if there is a plan and you really haven't been seeking him, or maybe there is secret sin in your life, or there's things that aren't right, and you're not really going after him, pursuing him, then God is waiting on you. And you say, Craig, how do I know the difference? Listen. Just listen. God will tell you what it is, if it's him or if it's you. We need to listen to God. Let God speak before we speak to him. That is the first key, the first step we take in a time of crisis. Let God speak to you before you speak to him. Really get into his word, because that's the main way that he speaks to us. Okay, let's take a look at the second focus. And this is going to be the last one we're going to do today. Next week we'll look at the final four. But today, the second step to praying in a time of crisis is to focus my attention on God, focus our attention on God. This is the seeking stage. It's when we seek after God. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, it says, then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him. Husbands, I want to give you a tip for marriage, okay? You want a great marriage? Here's a great tip. Turn your face towards your wife when she's talking to you, okay? Now, I know this from experience because just a few weeks ago, my wife was talking to me, and you know, I was listening, but I wasn't listening. And she got done, and she said, okay? And I says, yes, honey. And I realized I had no idea what the yes, honey was. And I stopped, and I said, okay, Rebecca, can you say that again? I mean, I had been listening, but it was kind of like that teacher on Charlie Brown, Peanuts, you know? Walk, 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 walk. I heard noise. I heard audible sound, but it did not register, and I had no idea what she said. And so this time, I said, honey, repeat what you said. And I turned and I looked right at her. And then when she spoke, I understood. I gained it. Why? Because I turned my face towards her. And really, the past couple of weeks, I've been trying to apply that in all my conversations with her, in my conversations with my kids, because I realize sometimes my kids are the people, they're talking, but I'm not turning my attention. I'm not looking at them, and so I'm really not hearing what they're saying. And I believe this is something key for us. When Daniel, when we look at this verse, he says, then I turn my face to the Lord. Now, Daniel's not necessarily saying, hey, when you pray, this is how you pray, turn your face up to the Lord and look up to the ceiling and pray. I don't believe he's giving us a physical posture. Here's the thing. When you pray, pray in a posture that's comfortable for you, that's conducive to prayer. If it's looking up at the ceiling with your hands raised, go ahead and do that. If it's sitting in your lazy boy with your eyes closed and your head bowed, then do that. But here's the thing. If that's going to put you to sleep, don't do that. Stand, kneel, pray. Talk verbally out loud to God. We want to pray in a posture that helps us to be attentive to God. When we pray, we turn our attention to God. That means when you come to God, and this can easily happen in time of crisis. I've experienced when something's wrong, when something's bad, I can come to God and my whole prayer time is just consumed with all of my thoughts, my worries, my cares, the details. God, how do I take care of this, of that, of the other, my wife, my kids, our finances, whatever it might be, and my whole prayer time can be caught up with Craigslist and instead of God's list. And what we need to do is we need to cast our cares before the Lord. Pour out your heart to Him. Tell Him how you feel. But as you're praying, turn your face to God and say, okay, God, I've shared with You what I want, what's been burdening me. But what's your burden? What's on your heart? What do you want to do? Share your list with me. The Bible is full of admonitions for us to seek God. Over and over, we see in Amos chapter 5, verse 4, it says, seek me and live. Seek me and live. And I believe that doesn't mean only physical life, that you won't experience judgment and God will take you, you go to heaven or go to hell or whatever. It doesn't mean that physical, but I believe it also means you will really start to live. You're not just going to exist, you're going to thrive. Because Jesus said, I came to give you life and that you might have it more abundantly. And that term abundantly, it means overflowing, filled to the top and overflowing the top. And Jesus wants us to have an abundant, overflowing life in His Spirit. And so when you seek God, you are really going to live in that abundant life. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. I love that. That's a guarantee. God guarantees if we seek Him, we will find Him. He's not playing hide and seek with us. He's not playing games. He's not hiding from us. He says, if you really come after me, you will find me. And in Hebrews 11, it says, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do you want God to reward your life? Do you want God to reward your business? Do you want God to reward your marriage, your family, your future? Then seek God and seek Him for these different areas in your life. In Luke chapter 12, verse 31, it says, "Seek the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you." So that means I'm seeking God's priorities. I'm seeking what God wants, not just my priorities. And if I'm seeking what God wants, He's going to add everything to me. He's going to take care of me. I can trust Him in my time of crisis. A lot of the pain that you might be experiencing right now may be the result of not seeking God. Maybe you made a decision. You entered into a relationship. You bought something. You bought a house, purchased a car, and you really didn't take any time. You didn't seek God about it, and you just did it because that's what you wanted. And now you've got this mess in your life, and that's what happens when you and I don't seek God. And we need to be people that lay down our agendas and seek after Him. You see, what happens when you and I don't seek God? God just kind of steps back and says, "All right, you want to do this on your own? I'm just going to sit back and watch what happens. I'm going to let you be on your own, yeah." And He'll pull back until we realize the error of our ways and we respond back to Him. You say, "Where is that in the Bible, Craig?" Well, Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. The Lord says, "I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they'll seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. And then the very next verse, which is the beginning of Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, this is the people's response to God pulling back, to Him saying, "I'm going to return to my place," and pull back from them. The people say, "Come, let us return to the Lord. For He is torn, but He will heal us. He is stricken, but He will bind us up." Friends, when people don't seek God, that's when they feel their pain. That's when they feel their guilt. That's when they feel the consequences of what their actions have brought upon them. And that's when they seek God. You see, the sad truth is, and I include myself in this, okay? Most of us, we don't seek God. We don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. I'm going to say that again because that's really good, okay? We don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. See, when you and I don't seek God, He says, "It's Burger King time. Have it your way. I'm just going to kind of sit back over here and wait until you realize what you've done. And when you cry out to me, when you begin to seek me again, I'll return back to you. And if you seek me, you will find me if you search for me with all of your heart." Friends, what needs healing in your life? Is it your marriage, your family, your health, your finances, your future? What needs healing in your life? Is it depression, anxiety? Are there some inner battles? I want you to realize I'm not saying that all the pain in our life comes because we've turned away from God. There's times you can be going after God, you're seeking God, you're praying, you're doing everything right, and bad things still happen. You go through a time of suffering. You go through a time of crisis. But here's the thing. Sometimes our pain is the result of that. How do you know? Listen. Get alone with God. Begin to read His Word and say, "God, show me if there's anything I have done. If I have pulled away, if I've stopped seeking You, if I have stopped putting You first, if I've been going my own agenda, my own way." And if God reveals it to you, ask Him to forgive you, because He will forgive. One of those promises that's in His Word that we can bank on, it says, if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You see, we have a God who's already taken the first step. He's reached out to us in love. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And God already says, "I love you. I gave my Son for you. But I want you to seek me." And that's what we need to do today. Seek God in your pain. Seek God in your crisis. Seek God for the next steps. God, what should I do now? Seek God. Let's pray today. Lord God, when we seek you, you come to us. God, you show up and you show us how to live. And God, you reward us. You add everything to us, giving us what we need. I pray that you would help us to seek you this morning. Speak to us, God. This morning, I would like you to do two things, okay? One of two things. The first one, and this is a challenge really to all of us, listen to God every day. Listen to God every day. That means before you go to bed tonight, if you haven't done so already, you see, listening to a church service doesn't count because you need one-on-one time with God. Get the Bible, crack it open for yourself, and say, God, speak to me. Help me to hear what you want me to say, and then have a conversation. And if you say, well, man, I really feel God didn't say anything to me, then just have a conversation. Talk to him about your life. Let God talk to you. If we become people that learn to listen to God every single day, I believe we're going to experience what Daniel experienced. Because here's something I have found. When there is a crisis, when there is a difficult time, those plans, those dreams, the things I want to do for God, all of a sudden, they kind of fall to the background. I lose sight on them, and I'm focusing on how to survive instead of how to walk with God and do what God wants to do and be a person of influence. So I want to be a person who is listening to God all the time, even in a time of crisis. Maybe for some of us, that listening means that, hey, I need to take three times a day and take a special time of prayer. Or maybe it means I'm going to abide with him because, you know, there's times, and I've been guilty of this, I'm praying and I have great time of devotions, but then I finish and I walk out of the house and I've kind of left God my prayer closet. I'm not thinking about the things we've talked about because I've got so much to do. And God wants us to be in a place where we're saying, what's next, God? I've got a meeting coming up. What's next? What do you want to accomplish in that meeting? What do you want me to say? A phone call comes. Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Maybe there's a task or a project you're working on. Lord, how do you want me to approach this? God, is there anything I need to be aware of? My wife and I, our dishwasher conked out on us a few weeks ago. We've been praying about a dishwasher. I mean, that's kind of a crisis, okay? Not really, but, and we've spent a lot of time researching, going and looking at different models, but this whole time we've been praying about what to do. Include God in the little things in your life. Learn to listen to God, and God will begin to speak to us, and we'll experience him in a new way. So that's the first thing, is to listen. But the second thing I want you to do is I want you to paint out this next year. You say, Craig, what do you mean by that? I want you to think about what are your dreams for your life? What are your dreams for the kingdom? What are the dreams for your family, for your marriage? You know, do you want greater intimacy, better conversation with your spouse? What's your vision for your calling, for what God wants to do? Do you need more vision in your life? What do you want God to do with your finances, in your health? Begin to say, God, I want your dream, your vision, and begin to paint out the year. And when you've got an idea of what God wants to do in different areas, then what you do is you say, what do I need to change? Because here's the thing. If I do the same thing this year as I did last year, I'm not going to see the change that I want to take place in this year. And so I need to change something. If I want something different in my health, I've got to change something. If I want something different in my prayer life with God or in my marriage, then I've got to do something different. And let God speak to you and show you what this year should look like for the different areas of our lives. Because here's the thing I believe. I believe that this COVID-19 virus, God wants the church to experience more of his power, more of His presence, more of His peace, more of His plans and purposes than we have before. Just because this crisis has come along doesn't mean we set that on the shelf. What that means is that, God, I need to listen to You and avail myself to the opportunities You want to give me. I need to be ready. I need to be searching and seeking and going after You. I believe that God wants this to be the church's finest hour, to use this as a moment to glorify God and make Christ known before all people. The greatest dream, the biggest thing that God can do in anyone's life is to have your eternal destiny sealed with God. You see, the longest any of us will live is about 100 years. If you make it to 100, you're doing really well. Most of us don't live that long. But friends, that 100 years, it seems so long in our time, but it's a short time compared to eternity. 1 second of eternity doesn't even come close to hundreds of 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 years. And so the biggest thing God wants to do in your life is to have a relationship with Him. But you see, our sin keeps us from relationship with God. And this morning, maybe you need to turn your life over to Christ. You haven't been walking in relationship. You're not a Christian. Or maybe some of you, you've fallen back. Maybe you have been like Israel was. They rebelled. They rejected God. They're doing their own thing. They weren't seeking Him. And you find you're in a place where you'd say, man, I need to return. I've been feeling the heat. I know I need God back in my life. And God says, if you turn to Me with all your heart, not just with enough so that you get out of the fire and, woo, it feels better so now I can go back to rebelling God. No, if you turn to Him with all your heart, you will find Him. So I'm going to pray this morning, and I would like all of us to pray this prayer together. And there's different aspects of the element of the message that we've talked about, and take the elements that apply to you and apply them to your life. Thank You, God, for making the first move. Jesus, You loved me. You died for my sins. Please forgive me for all that I've done wrong. I'm giving up the right to be in charge of my life. You're my master, and I will seek You. Forgive me for not listening, for not taking time with You. With Your help, I will stay connected. I will diligently seek You. Show me the picture for my life. Paint it with Your dreams, not mine. Color it with Your big things. I respond to You, to what You want. Thank You for all that You've done for me. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.